Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through the industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Chris Malgeri. He's a fitness and mindset coach dedicated to empowering individuals to achieve their full potential and lead balanced, fulfilling lives. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you for having me, sir.
You are welcome to the show, Chris. You are welcome to India in this online form. We just talked about your India connection. So welcome to India in this online form. I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we are going to talk about. We'll be talking about the power of mindset in one's fitness journey. So let's understand your journey, your fitness journey. Why did you get into, you know, what inspired you to get into this fitness, being a fitness and mindset coach first? Let's understand that.
Sure. So my background in fitness stems from, you know, way back in my youth. I played soccer, football as a young man. And what really took over as something that became a passion for me is martial arts and fitness, really in kind of a comical way. After my parents had separated, I was with my father and I would wait for him and I would watch old Chinese Kung Fu movies on TV while I'm waiting for my dad to come home from work. And I got involved very passionately with martial arts at a young age. And martial arts, of course, doesn't matter where they come from, all over the world, they demand a certain level of physical attention, right? You need to be in shape, you need to understand your body, and you need to understand the connection between your mind, your body, and your spirit, right? And so nowadays, we talk about mindset is everything, right? Perhaps back then, that was a little less of a trope that you would hear. Now we talk about, you know, it's 90% mental. You hear these kind of things all the time, and it's absolutely true. But because I got started in martial arts so early, I was introduced to that at a very young age, right? So the connection between the mind, the body, and the breath was something that I grew up with in the martial arts, in the various martial arts that have taken place. But as I got older, I thought, yes, martial arts are great, but then you need to balance that with perhaps the yoga for rehabilitation, make sure your body is, you know, feeling good as you get older. And then also, sometimes you wander a little bit on the life's journey, right? Sometimes you're doing martial arts, but sometimes you need to take a time off and learn something else that's a little bit different. I got involved with Argentine tango salsa and ballroom dancing, where I met my wife. And that is also a great physical activity that maybe we don't think of as fitness per se, but is a fantastic way to enjoy your time, stay in shape, work on your cardiovascular fitness and your mental acuity all at the same time. So I have my toes dipped in a lot of pools, as it were, within the martial arts, dance, fitness community. But what it all ties back to, as you have so accurately pointed out, is mindset, right? Because the power of the mind is going to direct the action of the body, right? Whatever you want to do, that's what you're going to do. And even if that is, unfortunately, for some people, not getting out of bed, right? First, we have to start by training the mind to get us going to do whatever it is in our chosen fitness journey, which will change over time, right? So, and that's okay. That we are human beings. We change as we grow. We evolve through time. And that should be not only accepted, but it should be embraced, right? You may start something at a later journey. I have students that train very physical things, right? Like jiu-jitsu and other martial arts. They don't start till they're 40, 50, 60 years old. So what, right? At least they started. That's the important part, right? So when we talk about the mindset, it all starts right from the beginning, whatever you do, right? And if you don't have the mindset locked in, you're likely to deviate on your path and go back to Netflix or, you know, sit on the couch, right? So once we establish how we can get our mind in control, right? How we can motivate ourselves, discipline ourselves, encourage ourselves, then we're in good shape, right? And it all starts with how you think about yourself.
Absolutely. How one is thinking about themselves. So what sort of a mindset is that you know, you think of going for a walk or a jog early at night, by and you have a great mindset. By morning, It just vanishes. What is that mindset? And how do I exactly, you know, work on that so that that sort of a mindset continues till not just the morning, but the next morning and the next, and continues for a long, long time. Then only when someone can achieve. So what is it that I should think so that, you know, that phase or that, that thing becomes a bit more permanent in my life? Otherwise, one will just keep on forgetting about it.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent question. I would encourage everybody to think of training their mindset like their muscles. Start slowly. Consistency over intensity, right? Take small steps very, very daily, right? So for example, if you are able to get up and take a walk for 5 or 10 minutes, you do that for a week, right? And then the next week you add 5 minutes. And the next week, let's take an extreme example of somebody who is perhaps out of shape. Their wellness journey has not gone as maybe as well as they would like to, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to start small. You're going to make small concrete changes to both how you think about fitness and how you think about yourself. If you're trying to become really fit overnight, perhaps that is not reasonable, right? But the daily steps are going to change you from day one. You might not see it, but from the first workout you take, your body is already changing. Your mind is already changing. It will take a little time for you to perhaps recognize that in your physical composition, your mental makeup. What I start with when I talk to clients and what have you is I'll start, what is your why? Why are you wanting to do this, right? Are you feeling stuck in your body? Do you have an event that you want to go to that you want to look a little better? Sometimes in my world, people come to me because they want to compete in sports. Okay, great. We've determined why you want to do that. What will you commit to for 1 week? Let's start small. What's a week? Can you get up and walk for 10 to 15 minutes every day? Excellent. That is a gold star. That's a gold medal if you've done nothing, right? And what I like to do is take a layering approach, right? First, we say, okay, I got myself up. I prepare the night before. I get myself into a good mindset and say, okay, I'm going to set my alarm. When I get up, I've got my tennis shoes. I've got my workout clothes. I'm just going to get up, take care of whatever I have to take care of, put my shoes on. I'm going to walk and I'm going to enjoy it, right? Usually the things we commit to are the things that we enjoy, the things that we say, hey, I feel pretty good about this. Now, I would argue that taking care of the body in any kind of mental, physical, spiritual tradition is a responsibility, not an option. But sometimes people don't feel that way, right? You've heard the body is a temple kind of comment. I believe this. And we have a body, we should take care of it to the best ability to have wellness and long life, right? Now, if you don't think that way and you're the kind of person that's going to fall back on the couch, maybe that's where we have to start, is appreciate what you have, whatever state it's in, and work from there. And consistency over intensity. Start for small walks. Later on, you can't go on YouTube nowadays without finding a million workout options. You can't tell me you don't have options. You're throwing me too many options, right? You can come to somebody like me and I can set you up. And I have a lot of clients that some people I train every day. And then I have other people that I only check in with once a month. I set them up and say, here's your diet. Here's your exercise. And here's your affirmation, your mindset. What works for you? Do you have to have a little story in your mind before you go to bed? Right? Do you have to do extra pranayama, right? Do you have to breathe and relax? And say, I don't know. We have to discover that for you, because then when you're having enjoyment, fulfillment, you're going to do it every day. But if you wake up, oh my God, I got to put my shoes on. I'm going to talk to you next week and you didn't do anything because you are not finding enjoyment. And if we can't find fulfillment, enjoyment in the things that we're doing, the things that improve our life, and we think of it as a responsibility, almost like a punishment. Oh, God, I got to get up and work. No, you don't. You can sit on your couch and get old and sick. You can do that. That's your business, right? I'm not going to come to your house and drag you. Well, I mean, I'm sure we could create a payment plan for that. But I'm not going to come over and get out of bed and make you do something if you're not motivated. but I will help you become motivated by taking small, consistent steps. And I like to pair it. If you get up one day and we're walking for 10 minutes a day for 1 week, the only other thing I want you to change is your water intake. So one little step in physical, one little step in diet, one little step in how we think about ourselves. And then the following week, we build on it. And in a month and 2 months, you're doing 3 days a week of working out. You know, if you have a Netflix account, there are workouts. I think it's Nike, maybe. Somebody, there's workouts on Netflix. There's free 12-week programs on YouTube, right? We find something that you'll commit to. We start with 1 week and then 4 weeks. Pretty soon you're into a 12-week program and you're having fun. Even for me, I consider my workout my golden time. I turn off my phone. My kids are busy playing. You know, my workout is my workout. This is where I get to connect with myself and really experience whatever it is I'm doing, right? So if you can find that appreciation and really get to know yourself in the mindful kind of way, just by putting one foot in front of the other and going for a walk down the street, perfect. But always consistency, consistency, consistency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris, now in terms of fitness, how should people at different stages in life, how should they look at this fitness part? Some people think, you know, when they think of fitness, they think whatever stage they are in, they suddenly think of an ideal picture. Oh, this is what fitness should be all about. And it can lead to being overwhelmed that I have to cover this long journey. And it, you know, instead of inspiring, it leads you to forgetting, limiting yourself about your own thought process. So how should people look at fitness in today's time? Because someone will have less time, someone will have more time, and someone will think, you know, I can do a little bit of browsing on my phone or on my laptop, or I can do anything. And at that point in time, they think, okay, I can start doing something else from tomorrow about the fitness thing. How should people look at fitness?
Well, you touched on a couple of really important things, and let me work through the best I can. Number one, social media as a tool is a blessing and a curse, right? So if you start scrolling on your phone and you look up and it's an hour later and you just wasted an hour on videos, not ours, of course, ours is hopefully useful, but you get the idea, perhaps that is not the best use of your time, right? So number one, limit social media, put your timer on and commit to, I'm going to do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because if it's mindless, right, I'm watching cat videos and I'm not really going forward in life, that's okay. You had a long day at work, you had a stressful time, take a few minutes to decompress, but then put it down, right? The other thing that's dangerous about social media in fitness is you'll see these videos where you'll see a person maybe 50, 60 years old and they're out of shape and they're, and then you see the next video where they're ripped and they look amazing and they're doing fantastic things, but you don't see the steps, right? You don't see what it took for them to go A to Z. And then you think, oh my God, I'm never going to do that, right?
Right.
The first thing is accept that your journey is yours and they don't matter. If they don't inspire you, if in some way looking at them brings you a negative kind of reflection, put it away. It doesn't matter, right? Find something that inspires you, and then we can go that way. And then recognize every day that this is my journey, and whatever I've been given, whatever your belief system is, we're here, and we should make the most of it. So small steps, put down the social media, don't compare yourself to others, and focus on your why. And remember that it's the accumulation of daily, literally steps, walking. You get, maybe you're at a 2-pound dumbbell doing something and you see other people and you're, wow, that's impressive. Yes, it is. But you are maybe not there yet. If that is your goal, focus on day to day, right? Make the decision every day. And pretty soon you're going to look back in 2 months and think, hey, I'm farther along than I was, right? So it's important to stay the course. That's why like people like me and trainers and other things, we have a job, because sometimes being by yourself is challenging, right? It's easy to, especially in bed. Nowadays in bed, you don't even have to get the remote and turn on the TV. You just look at your phone. You're in bed. Yes, all that's getting trained is your finger going across the screen, right? That's not improving quality of life, right? And it doesn't matter if you're a fitness athlete trying to compete at a high level or you're a grandparent that wants to be able to play with your grandkids. Your journey is your journey. First, we figure that out. And keep in mind, as you improve, your options improve. After 2-3 months, you say, hey, you know, I feel pretty good. I'm getting up in the morning. I feel pretty good. Maybe my why expands into, I don't just want to walk down the street without risk of falling, right? I want to be that grandparent that runs in the playground with their kid, not the one that's sitting on the bench. So now your why starts to open up, and pretty soon it doesn't really matter stage of life. Your life can always get some measure of better, and we can improve how you feel about yourself, how you think about yourself, that we start there and then enjoy the journey. If you think of it as a responsibility, as a must do, well, that's easy, right? You say, I got to go to work. I got to make money. Do you have to work out? I would argue yes, but that's just me. You might argue, no, I did my work for the day. I'm going to sit on my butt and I'm going to Netflix and chill. Okay. But then when you complain next week, next year, that your knees hurt, that your back hurts, remember this, because you didn't make the 10, 15 minute a day changes. And later on, I've got people that have been, even after 1 month, they went from 5-10 minutes a day. Now they're doing 40 minutes twice a week. You go three times a week. You go, wow, that's impressive, right? That those changes are supposed to happen, right? When you put a stress on it, on yourself, right? Whether it's the stress of, you know, the dumbbell on the muscle or the stress of accomplishing a task, you become stronger. And step by step, your growth is going to be apparent. But sometimes we don't see it when we're in the middle. And if you can take a step back and look, you say, wow, 3 months ago, I was kind of chunky. 3 months ago, I couldn't walk up the stairs. These are things that day to day, you'll know because you feel it, right? And you feel it in your bones. You can feel like that may be a gold medal for you, is walking up a flight of stairs without huffing and puffing. You say, wow. Then your mind says, well, if I can do that, I can do more. What more can I do? Maybe you want to do something a little more athletically challenging, right? Maybe you want to do something that's both mentally and physically challenging, like ballroom dancing, right? That can be a great workout. It's a little lighter on the body, right? But it's consistent. You're working all your muscle groups, your cardiovascular system improving, your connection with a partner, your interpersonal skills are improving, because now you have to be responsible for your behavior, your step, everything with another human being. That's nice, right? And then something that we do is we encourage that in the kind of clients that my wife and I deal with, because sometimes you and your wife don't have enough time. You're trying to work out, she's trying to work out. Well, you can do that together, right? And then improve those kind of things as a unit. That's also a very nice thing to do, right? So this is such a big topic, but really, since every person is individual, we have to individualize everybody's path. And you can do that with a little thoughtfulness. What do I want to do? How do I want to do it? What will I commit to now? And you'd be surprised, in 6 months, you might be committing to an hour a day and saying, man, I'm feeling good. I'm eating right. I'm stretching right. I'm breathing right. You know, I'm behaving the way I want to, right? I'm behaving with kindness and compassion and empathy. I don't hurt anymore. So I don't feel like I got to hurt other people just to make myself feel better, right? There's so many, I'm not doing silly things, maybe smoking or too much. And you slowly take those things away. As you improve one area, you can start to extract the things that are not beneficial to you. This is also very nice, but step by step will become a habit, will become a lifestyle. Sometimes you watch people, they jump in, they try to cut out all the bad stuff. And then what do you see? A month later, you check in, they're sitting on the couch, they've got their whatever, you know, maybe it's a Ben and Jerry's ice cream, then they're watching, I don't know, right? Whatever their thing is. because they didn't go step by step and they weren't consistent, right? Sometimes our brains don't react to change very well, right? But change over time, it expands our consciousness, right? We can really feel differently about ourselves, and we can live in our mind, in our body, in our spirit, in a more fulfilling way.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Chris. You talked about pranayama, mindfulness, and yoga and all that. So in a sense that, you know, people can do it on their own, but do you also use it as part of your fitness coaching? Because that will be a bit much more on the workout side and getting this into that coaching program. Do you do it like that? How are you able to integrate this into your coaching programs?
Well, depending on what aspect of the coaching we're working on, if we're in person, usually I will incorporate, which is very common in jiu-jitsu and other things, how we warm up, how we cool down, using the breath to control the emotional content. Sometimes when you're involved with something very, very physical, you can get nervous, you can get excited, and the breath controls everything, right? So if you can use your mind to control your breath control your body, then even if there's a fear response, you can still react, right? So these are parts of the coaching program. If I'm dealing with a client that perhaps they're new to all this, right? We'll set a schedule. We can do it virtually. My wife does a lot of more of the classical yoga where it's really the union of the mind, body, and spirit. Sometimes in the modern sense, and I learned this from her, yoga is only, it's kind of like glorified stretching and tight pants, right? They're talking a good game, but maybe they're not including the mental and spiritual aspects in a deep way, right? So if that interests you, then we can have those conversations and we can learn to integrate, right? You can, I have a people that I work with, we do it. There's a chair-based yoga because their hips don't work, right? They're in such physically poor shape. We've got to start very small. I sit them on the edge of the chair. We do our breath work. We go through whatever asana that we can make them functionally do without hurting themselves, right? And then we grow from there, right? I have in my background, I started to train Tai Chi, right? In English, we would hear it as Tai Chi, right? Not because I needed more martial arts to practice, but I need something to calm, to move slowly, to let my body relax. Because especially when I was young, I'm punching the bag all the time. We're doing jiu-jitsu. We're fighting. The body breaks down a bit. And you've got to get a way to let it heal. And that's a fun one. But there's also a program to do it seated if you're so restricted in your movement. So, yes, we incorporate that. That's a big part of our family tradition now, right, through my wife. It's a big part of our training tradition here, too, because let's be honest, it's just fantastic. Right. It's just and it is so there's a through line through everything. Right. The yoga, the breath work, everything. It's taken over. The important thing is not to treat it as a. Like as a fad, but as a commitment. Right. And it's not a commitment to it's a commitment to yourself. Right. Because really, what is it? It's a tool for your own development, for your own improvement. And it's a beautiful thing. Right. I go through it regularly where I will have my wife lead me through various practices. And it could be like, I worked out. So my hips are killing me. Then she knows how to guide me because we've been doing this together so long. I like the community aspect of it as well, if that's possible. That's a huge thing too, right? So some people need that when you walk in, as I'm sure you're aware, you just walk into the room and everybody's getting ready for class and your body goes, okay, I'm here with everybody else. We're about to experience this together. And it's very important to have that sense of community for a lot of people. Some people, it's good to work out alone, but that isolation, if that's not you, maybe you need to find a community or you need to find a coach to connect with that is going to help you a step of the way, right? And you'll know that. Right? People kind of know themselves and they say, hey, I need a trainer and I need a guide, right? Or they say, nope, I can commit to myself. I'm, you know, long distance runners and people that every day they get up, they put their headphones on, they just go. They don't want anybody next to them, right? My wife is like this in some ways, right? There's a point in the day, there's a set of workouts that when she's working out, she doesn't want me or the kid, nobody. That's her time to zone in and really feel everything in herself. But there's other times where we need community, right? And that community can help you in your mindset because it can reinforce with you. Hey, I just over here, I see him, you know, once or twice a week, we're getting to know each other. We're sharing this journey. I don't feel alone, right? Maybe they're ahead of me. Maybe this guy's been, okay, that's cool, but we're doing it together. That's why, I don't know how popular in India, but like CrossFit, right, has just blossomed. Half of CrossFit is just a bunch of people getting together because they want to work out hard, right? Yes, is it impressive? Absolutely. Is it useful? 100%. If that's the kind of thing you can commit to, right? But the community aspect of it is really important, right? And that's going to reinforce what you were asking was mindset, right? Some days you feel like, oh man, I don't want to work out, but you know, I know I just going to be there class. I better be there too, right? Because I want to see him and I want to work out together. That's good. That's a blessing that we have, right? How many people in the world don't have a life where they can even work out because life gets in the way, or their life is such that they don't have the opportunities because where they live, how they live, what they're doing. We have great blessings and we should appreciate them. We should cultivate them. And then we should reach out to other people and try to share those things to the extent that we can, because otherwise, what are we doing here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well put, well explained, Chris, indeed. And I'm sure a lot of people will benefit from the things that you have explained so well. So for a lot of people who would want to know more about your coaching, more about you, more about the things that you do, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
On the social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, like this, the official Coach Chris is probably the best way to get a hold of me. I think that probably, and they can also look up the Synergy Center Global, which is our platform that we work off of, the synergycenter.net. I'd be happy to talk to anybody, whether it's, I do a lot of introductory coaching and then people go off and do their own thing. And I have people that I coach on a week-by-week basis. And then where we are now in Davenport, Florida, I hold regular classes, you know, 6 days a week. So it's all nowadays with technology, it's all available, right? Whoever wants it, it's right. It's on your phone, right? Worst case scenario, it's on your phone. So there's no reason we can't all achieve that kind of fulfillment if we know how to use our technology correctly.
Wonderful. Absolutely. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you so much, sir, for having me.